We're going to talk to Dr. Linda Mintel. There's been a lot of stress going on in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul over the last week with this shooting that's gone on. And did you know that news can be very toxic to your body? It triggers the limbic system, according to Dr. Mintel. And these panicky stories that we hear, it releases cascades of cortisol. And this deregulates your immune system and inhibits the release of growth hormones. So in other words, your body finds itself in a state of chronic stress. Now, does that feel like how you feel this morning? Do you wake up feeling like you read all these bad news stories and it stresses you out? And you think, what am I going to do with this? And you actually start neglecting spiritual disciplines like prayer and meditation and reading God's word, because there's a certain attraction to these stories as well. So you have to figure out how to have a diet of being informed, but having a diet of not letting it get to you, because there's a lot of things you can do nothing about. We're going to talk to Dr. Linda Mintel about that, and then we're going to get a pastoral response from Pastor John Somerville from City Church in Minneapolis about how we should be feeling spiritually about our community in light of this tragedy. So we're going to take a little break, and then Dr. Linda Mintel is going to be with us in just a minute. It is 6 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us today. It's 8 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us today, because we're trying to be very joyful amidst stressful, difficult news stories. And we've got Dr. Linda Mintel to come talk to us about that, being stressed and being tired. And then you pile on negative news stories on top of that. And that's not good for your whole well-being. So Dr. Linda Mintel is with us. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
So there's been lots of turmoil and chaos here in the Twin Cities, and it's become an international news story, and it creates a lot of stress, a lot of emotion, and people are looking for a way to process this.
I think one of the difficult things about this story is that it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and that's one of the problems when news stories are reported. You hear all the sensational things around it, and yet there's so little information sometimes. You know, it'll probably take months for the full story to come out. But in the meantime, it just leaves people feeling very worked up, very stressed. And unfortunately, the Twin Cities is just one of many cities, as you know, Bill, in the country that has had these kinds of reactions to several police shootings, to protests over other issues in cities. It's like our cities are becoming just these emotional time bombs sometimes in terms of our reactions to things. And so you have to start asking the question. And when you and I were talking about this through email, I started saying, why are people so reactive? And I think part of it is there's this very specific interaction between news media today and the people who are the viewers. So if we look at the stats, about 90% of news stories are negative stories. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
It is. So you turn on the television and it's one story after another of mayhem and fires and people getting killed and police shootings and robberies and, you know, it just goes on and on. And then what happens is that we are wired in our brains to attend to that kind of negative news. Because what happens in our brain, you said a little bit of it when you were introducing this, is that we attend to that bad news because of the way we are wired with the fight or flight response that a lot of people have heard of. This is when the brain signals danger, mm-hmm. the emotional part of the brain, and it goes on high alert, and it's looking for something. So it's kind of normal for people to be looking and searching for that bad news, because we're wired so specifically to say, if there's something wrong, I got to know about it, I got to be aware of it, and I got to get on alert. And then, of course, what happens when you stay on high alert like that, day after day after day, all the things that you described before, the damage that's done not only to your physical body, but to your emotional state, puts tension in relationships, and people just are on edge.
You know, Linda, you say that our brains are wired towards survival, which is very interesting. So when we hear these stories, are we processing them like what would we do if this, if I was in that situation? Do we role play or what do we do?
Yeah, that's a good way to think of it. You know, it's like being in the forest and the tiger comes at you and your brain begins to say, alert, 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 run or do something. And so that same mechanism in the brain, when we see terrible stories, we think, oh my goodness, you know, what is it? Is there going to be a flood in my town? Is, you know, I remember when I was dealing with my kids during 9/11, and I did not let them watch the news coverage of the planes. They were young, and I just didn't let them watch that. But when they heard about the news, they said to me right away, their very first response, and I think this is indicative of what the brain does, is a bomb coming to our house. So even their brains that could not process the abstraction of all of this knew that there was some kind of threat, some kind of danger, and so I have to be on alert for that. So I think that is part of the reason why we attend. Now, there's also this part of the brain that is called, there's a cognitive way our brain works that was, there was actually a Nobel laureate who discovered this. It's called the negative bias of the brain. And what he discovered in terms of the way we cognitively, the way we think about things, is that all this thought tends to go negative. We tend to go negative no matter what. So I've always thought maybe this is something to do with the sin nature of man, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that our brains, we think and we respond quicker to negative words. Bad news heightens our awareness, like we were talking about, and we tend to have these stories. We see these stories, and it's just kind of confirming that, oh, yes, we're in trouble. Oh, that's going to be a problem. Oh, I better do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the combination of that negative bias that we all have, where we tend to go negative more so than positive, is another one of those things that's built into us.
So, Linda, what happens when we pay attention to bad news stories over and over and over? I would imagine eventually we'll end up feeling flat and what's the other word? Depressed.
Depressed. And, you know, it was interesting when my mom was really struggling with some illness when she was, you know, elderly, and she and my dad used to watch the news 24/7 almost in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point we were talking on the phone and she said, I'm just so down. I'm just so depressed. And, you know, I said to her, you know, part of the issue is put on your old Bill Gaither tapes instead of watching that news 24/7, because it really was making her feel down and depressed. And sometimes people get fearful of what they see too, because then you begin to think, you know, it's not safe and there's nowhere to go and, ooh, this could happen. And when it happens in a community in which you live, then you really get that sense of that lack of safety that you feel, and people get fearful and anxious, and it motivates the brain again to take action. And unfortunately, as you begin to think that there's somebody who caused this, or there's somebody at fault, or there's this blame thing, you and I talked about what hate does to a person. If you start to build in hate towards people and you start to say it's their fault, they're the enemy, and I think we see this a lot with the police, then that hate in your brain begins to activate some aggression and some movement to do something in order to maybe take down the person or get revenge. And that's a lot of what we see in these group protests in cities. It's contagious.
Yeah. Linda, I need to take a break here in about a minute, but let's talk about images in particular. You know, we talk about words that can stay with us forever, but images, they burn into our consciousness. And how do we get those out? How do you write over those images?
Yeah, they do, and that is one of the dangers of exposing people to violent videos and violent pictures and images, because they do burn into the brain, a very different part of the brain that stays there. This is also, I know we're not talking about pornography, but this is why pornography is so dangerous, because it's an image-based addiction where those images in the brain are very difficult to get out of the brain. You can do that by a very specific biblical strategy that maybe we can talk about when we come back from the break. So there are ways to continue to reprogram. The brain is plastic, neuroplastic, so it can change, it can adapt, but you got to put the right things in order to override the negative.
Excellent. So if you have a question for Dr. Linda Mintel and would like to ask her, please feel free to give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, as you're trying to process some of the negative news stories that are going on all around us all the time, and in particular, some of the extra stressful news stories that have been happening most recently. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Talking to Dr. Linda Mintel. If you want to get involved in the conversation this morning, or you have a question for Linda, 1-877-933-2484, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Linda, I'm just curious as to how do we process difficult stories in a healthy way. There was a story on the news here in Minnesota of these two kids. I think they went to a petting zoo, and they developed E. coli, and the little girl died instantly, and the little boy is on life support. And it's like, I read that story, and I burst into tears. I could do it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's so difficult. And I think you and I were talking about another story that you had sent me a video of police officers shooting two family dogs. And I know you said after you watched that it was very difficult to watch that very disturbing image. And I think the first thing is just to limit that exposure. I mean, I know we've said that, but I really want to make a point of that, Bill, because we allow ourselves to watch so much violence. And when you told me that video was going to be disturbing, I didn't watch it. I turned it on and I just listened to the story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't look at the images, because like so many of us, and like all of us, basically, in terms of the way our brains are wired, when there's emotion attached to an image, that image gets stored into a deeper part of the brain. And so that's one of the reasons why it's more difficult to get it out of there, because it's been actually stored. So part of the issue is you have to have a theology of all of this. You have to recognize that there are horrendous things in the world. One of the scriptures I read when we were looking at all these bad news stories was 2 Timothy 3, and I started reading the first five verses, and it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." And then it goes through a huge list of things that we could say are happening right now. And a couple of them are without self-control, brutal, treacherous, rash. And, this is all going to be happening in front of us. But then we have to counter that with, but God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And we have to remind ourselves that God is in control, and that while we are here, terrible things are going to happen, because God tells us that. So we have to be walking in this reality of there are horrible stories, brutal things that are happening to people. I mean, the decapitation of Christians in Egypt. And you hear these things, one after the other, and it almost is too much to bear. So part of this is really limiting what you take in on a daily basis. But every time you hear a negative, then countering that with the truth of God's word, with the truth that there is a hope in him, and that he is not absent in our world, and that he will comfort those who need comfort, and he will mourn with those who need mourn. And just to continue to balance this, the reality of what we see, with the hope of who Christ is. And this is a time when you can give that hope to other people. And you can say to other people, the way I deal with this is I have to go back to the Lord, and I have to have him comfort me on a daily basis. But this is what he promises to do, and living my life without him would be so difficult.
Yeah, because Linda, if you don't do that, it's easy to grow bitter or maybe cynical, or maybe even worse, you start to lose empathy for people or others.
And that's what happens when you view violence. There are studies after studies that show that when people view a lot of violence and see these images and see these stories, not just hear them on the news, that people get desensitized to that kind of thing. That, and you see this, you see these other stories. There was some story, I didn't follow it, so I'm not gonna get it right, but apparently somebody was drowning and some people, just kids, walked past the person or something. This kind of lack of empathy, lack of compassion that we begin to see, because people are desensitized to these negative events. And then those negative events can, in other people, create fear, as we've talked about, and they don't have a way to cope with that fear. And then it also increases aggression. So this is why it is so important with that balance. And we know this, again, because I said the brain goes negative. So this is why that scripture in Philippians 4 is so important, where we have to think about those things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Those are the things that God is saying, you need to think on these things and then put them in practice. And then he says at the end of that chapter, he says, and the peace of God will be with you. So God is telling us, he's giving us the prescription. He's telling us there are going to be these bad things, but I also need you to think on these things that are good and noble and true, as I just mentioned, and that is the counter. And your brain needs to counter that negative stuff with these positive things. So I think it's just so great that the Bible is so prescriptive and gives us what we need to do and how we need to counter all this bad news.
Yeah, Linda, a caller called in and said, if we take in these violent images, are we at risk of, and if we don't take these, are we at risk of being blind to those who are suffering violence or even be accused of being asleep at the wheel?
Yeah, I think that's the balance, is that you have to walk in some reality of what is going on in the world. And so, you know, there are times when I will look at something, but I won't look at it fully. You know, there was a big controversy when the movie 13 Reasons came out on Netflix. This was a movie about suicide, and in that movie, it wasn't a movie, it was a series of different episodes, but in one of the episodes, they actually showed the person committing suicide. And I think that was very wrong, and it was very disturbing to me because there is a social contagion that happens with that that's going to trigger so many people that maybe are just on the edge as a way out. And so what you could have done is you could have brought attention to the problem of suicide without that completely graphic look at it. So there are ways to report things that are not going to so disturb you in your spirit. And a lot of times, you know, news stories will say, now this is going to be graphic, this is going to be disturbing, don't watch. And I think you can still know what is happening to people, but we don't always have to see such brutality in action because, again, if you look at the trauma research, Bill, and we haven't even talked about that, but when people have post-traumatic stress disorder, we now know that just witnessing trauma can give you post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow.
So there are people who look at that stuff over and over, and this is what concerns me about violent movies and violent videos. Over and over, you can actually become traumatized, and the data shows just as much as the person who's actually experiencing the trauma. So we've got to protect ourselves, not live in denial, but in the reality of what's going on, but protect the amount of that we take in.